Hey, folks, welcome to our latest edition of the East Texas News Roundup. This week, we're going to bring you the highlights of everything that happened in our Polk County publishing area. What's going on over in Trinity County, Jason?
Sheriff Woody Wallace is a little bit under the weather, suffered a heart attack this past weekend, but
That's a little under the weather.
Yes, very under the weather. But he did have surgery, and apparently he's been walking around based on reports I've seen.
Okay.
Off the ventilator, but 2 days before that, he busted a handful of sex offenders. Yeah.
So these were all people who weren't meeting their registration requirements.
Correct. They out of compliance.
They didn't tell Woody when they moved and things like that.
Nope. Shame.
Come on into jail. All right. Well, Woody, we want to see some Facebook Live video from all around your hospital room.
Get well soon, Woody.
Sheriff. We'll talk to you later. Megan, how are things in Crockett?
They are good. A little wild on social media.
Yeah.
On Monday, Beto O'Rourke came, mm-hmm. Texas Senate candidate, and we posted it on Facebook, and people were not happy.
That's kind of where we have to walk a dicey tightrope there, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's kind of like we try to let you know when candidates come to town that are running for races that involve more than one county. Obviously, U.S. Senate involves the entire state of Texas. So if any candidate comes to town, that is news. But mm-hmm. that drew some really negative name-calling reaction, yeah. didn't it?
And today I actually put a little comment on there that we don't tolerate disrespectful comments. And then people started backlashing that, saying that we were on Beto's side and that we're just, hey, you need a vote for this candidate, which I got offended, I'll be honest, on that.
Yeah.
Because as a journalist, I try so hard
right.
to balance that line.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I know typically among us journalists, we are among the last to make our decision mm-hmm. about who we're going to vote for. So that has happened to me a lot in the past, that people think they already know how I'm going to vote. And very often they're wrong. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Luckily, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was able to say, hey, Kevin Brady was just here. We did front page story about him. Anyways.
Yeah. Had a similar situation in Trinity County last week. 2 weeks ago, Kim Olson, Democrat candidate for Commissioner of Agriculture, came by. Mm-hmm. I did a story on her. But also, there was this thing on Ted Cruz. Some of his spokespeople are coming to Trinity County tomorrow
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
So I put them both on the front page, just so it didn't look like we favored one party over the other.
And there is kind of a thing about, I wonder, is it the same thing when a surrogate is campaigning for the candidate as opposed to the candidate? Because, I mean, especially here in Polk County, we could come up with a Ted Cruz surrogate every day of the week. Somebody could stand up on the corner and talk about him because we are a largely conservative Republican county. So I think it's a little bit dicey. I mean, we had Beto's wife and sister, after they finished in Crockett, the wife and the sister came to Livingston and were at one of our coffee shops. I mean, we have let people know that his family members were coming, but it wasn't quite exactly the same thing as the candidate coming, because mm-hmm. you're only going to get one or two shots to talk to the guy face to face. I got to meet him in Woodville, but we did in the Tyler County Booster promote it, and it's going to be a very tight race.
Mm-hmm. And we're just reporting the news.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to, the best thing that I've always learned is to see, you just report what happened and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just remember even back in the ancient days of the 1980s when I was a senior in high school, and our government teacher in Austin said people always have a sense of impending doom or a sense of panic at election time. And in reality, you can't flip around our country on a dime. It's like driving a big long bus, a bus pulling a trailer. You're not going to whip it around in the middle of this dirt road.
Exactly.
It's not conspiracy. It's not deep state. You just don't wake up, go to sleep on Tuesday night after voting and wake up on Friday and it's a whole new world.
Really?
Really. I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah. I'm going to cry.
I wish I had known Beto were going to be in Houston County. I would have come by.
It was his wife and sister.
Oh, wasn't him himself?
No.
Okay.
That's sweet. But if he had actually come.
Yeah, but I mean, people were challenging that we didn't have a photo that you estimated the crowd at 60 mm-hmm. or you counted the house and said there were 60 people there. And they're like, well, we want to see a picture of them. Well, folks, I don't know how recently you tried to get 60 people in one photo, but it ain't that easy.
Yeah.
It's a really bad photo, even if you manage it.
Because as a photojournalist, you're only capturing like close-ups. If you print out a huge picture,
right.
you're not going to be able to see
right.
the faces.
If you look back at that, and you can look in our paper today, the football team photo. I mean, how many kids are on a football team, Jason?
Well, that varies. Usually on a 2A team or 3A team, like 20 to 30. And then.
Yeah. So a photo of even with a photo with half that crowd, 30 people in it, it's pretty hard to recognize your own child in that photo. So why would we jam up a photo with 16?
Exactly.
Here's the thing about that, too, is we're you know, you can get those kids easily when they're doing like their photo days, like, you mm-hmm. know, meet the Trojans, mm-hmm. meet the Pirates, whatever. But what do you expect when they're out in the game, for instance, and someone drops a ridiculous request like mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, like, my camera is not very well built, I guess you could say.
Well, it takes a very, now that we're in the digital age, it takes a super high dollar camera to stop action in the dark from 50 yards away.
Well, here's the thing I'll say, too, is you see the photos I'll put whenever it's me covering mm-hmm. a game. You know, and I get the kids, they're getting ready to make a play. So you got mm-hmm. the kids are basically over squatting on mm-hmm. one end and you got the other team on the other end and one mm-hmm. has got the ball or whatever. I sometimes crop out players that are like on the outer edges. Yeah, and they're in their like certain little positions. I usually only get the ones that are in the line mm-hmm. because it's a much easier, much more clear photo and much mm-hmm. closer and everything. It looks better. I got to crop those kids out. So what do you want me to expect whenever you say, you know, I want to see how many kids are on those teams or whatever. We're not here to get that. We're here to report these events as they're happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you had some events over the weekend, last weekend.
Where do I begin with Sanderson County?
Start with the cows.
Okay, so we actually just wrapped up the Sanderson County Fair and Rodeo. We've got, you know, a new Rodeo Queen crown. They raised over $400,000 on the auction.
Wow.
They had 168 projects. They had 300 registered buyers.
That's great.
Yes, it's great when you're not photographing all 168 of them. That was literally 7 hours straight.
It's the marathon assignment in journalism, in community journalism. Yes.
Hopefully that's the only one I'd have to do every year, but I think we may be able to have someone take care of that from now on, which would be great because they can get better photos than
anyone. We're constantly strategizing.
I had someone take care of Trinity Community Fair for me, so.
Yeah, and when is the, so that took care of just the city of Trinity people. Did those kids auction off their animals or are they going to keep them and show them in Groveton later in the year?
I will have to look into that.
Okay. We'll be waiting.
Yes.
There were a couple here that did keep their animals. And one of them in particular was one of the reserve champions.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't get a photo of her. But thankfully, that was because she wasn't there as opposed to the other person who don't know the name off the top of my head of who it was, but they had a cow that they were showing.
You had some animal discipline problems.
It threatened to trample us. I mean, yikes. it was a little kind of scary for a moment. I mean, they mm-hmm. got it away from us, you know, but it was still uncooperative. So they let it out of that area where we were taking photos. Mm-hmm. And even as he was leading it out, I was watching that and it kind of slowly dawned on me, oh, I guess we're not taking a photo of the kid and everything else by themselves. Mm-hmm. It's one of those photos I have to take. But I was watching and he was struggling. Even after he got out of that area, was going down like this little, not all the way, but he has two fences on either side. So mm-hmm. he has a very narrow path. And he was struggling to get that cow out of there.
And I hear all of you ag parents thinking he must not have walked his calf. But sometimes, I mean, you don't ever take your animal into the show situation mm-hmm. mostly, but you don't ever have it in a crowded arena with all kinds of people and loud music playing as you walk them. But I mean, that's another reason why you really gotta walk that hog.
Yeah, and also, I'll say this too. I mean, you could only train animals so much. There's always going to be ones that are going to, they're still animals and they're still going to give you problems. It's like we had one of the times I'd covered, heaven forbid, donkey basketball. There are some of the donkeys that they'll have out there that are fine, but there was one time I'd covered it. I forget which school it was a couple years back, but one of them kept bucking like crazy. And like one of the people bringing them in told me you might want to step back, you know, and I'm like thinking to myself, you're actually going to let students and teachers ride this thing?
Yeah, we have donkey basketball on this side of the river. That it's usually like Crime Stoppers versus law enforcement. We have one patrol deputy sergeant, and I guess now he's in transportation, but he's never quite the same after he had a donkey accident. But
it's funny too. I also mentioned that what's funny is I did when I was getting ready for the Rodeo Queen crowning. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of the rodeo. And of course, when it comes to bull riding, you know, they mm-hmm. drop you out, you know, and you're getting thrown every which way on that bull before you finally get thrown off, whatever. This one girl, I felt so bad for. She didn't even get out of there because apparently flung her off like right when the gate opened and she had to grab onto the side of the starting area. Yeah.
So I wonder, was it steers? Or I mean, it was steers, right? Not bulls. These were students, right?
I would have to look into that. But okay. I don't think so, because she might have been. I didn't get a good look at her. So I couldn't tell you for sure. But I mean, she would be an older student if she was. But I mean, they get people that are from way out of the area to do the rodeos and stuff. So I mean, it's not like this is like local kids doing the rodeo.
Okay.
No, this is funny because basically that means she has a time of zero. Definitely did not make the 8 seconds.
Right. Well, it is a very long 8 seconds when you're on the back of that animal.
Yes.
For my EMS days, we would have two ambulances assigned to the rodeo. And it was just nonstop load and go and drop them at the hospital. Come back and get another one because they can't turn out an animal without the ambulance there. And I would say we hauled away 5 or 6 kids a night from the rodeo. As soft as you try to make that dirt, it's still not, it's not a great fall.
Yeah.
No. It's not bouncing on the trampoline.
Well, it's like football. I think I've covered more games where there was a kid that got injured and they had to stop the game and all the kids get on their knees or whatever, than I've covered games where that has not happened.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, you've always got to have people on hand when someone gets clobbered and gets their 10th concussion, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. My two grandsons are homeschoolers, so I'm glad I don't have to enter that debate about do you want your kid to play? I mean, my nephew did play for Livingston, and he's a delicate little flower, 6'10", over 300 pounds. You still, you know, it's kind of like you only get so many head bonks before it really starts taking a toll. You might want to be able to drive the remote when you're my age.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The golden 50s. So you also had a couple other things over in your county aside from livestock animal auctions.
So are we going to get into the elephant in the room now?
Yeah, the elephant in the room.
Okay, so
we love you, Dale Everett.
Dale, don't ever stop being you if you're hearing this. You've always been one of the best people I've known in Sanderson County. You've always been very helpful to me. So we're going to cut to the chase because only two of us here, which is basically half of our group today, knows about this. But the Sanderson County Historical Commission, every year since 2014, I do believe it is, they have had what they call Heritage Days. And for those of you who have never been to Heritage Days, to give you an idea, I mean, they call it Heritage Days. It's actually only one day, and it's usually the last day of the fair. But there's a section of Cold Spring called Old Town Cold Spring that has a lot of their historical buildings. And a lot of them can date back to like the 1800s. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the county was founded in 1870.
So in Old Town Spring, are those buildings, were they actual buildings from somewhere? Or were they recreations? Because in Woodville, they have Heritage Village, which is a whole little attraction. A lot of them are rebuilt, recreations, and they're not. Some of them are historic buildings. And some of them are rebuilds.
Some of them, I think, are recreations to an extent. I think there's a store down there. I forget what the name of it is. But I think they say it's largely recreated or something like that, or it is completely recreated. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, though, are, from what I'm understanding, are the actual buildings. And now they've had to have them refurbished every now and then. But yes, I mean, they're supposedly the actual buildings. Simply put, the idea behind Heritage Days is to, like the Historical Commission and their volunteers, they'll dress up like they're from 1870, which again is when the county was founded. Mm-hmm. And they'll have vendors out there. They run the Paradise, which is spelled like pair of dice, you know, but paradise, you know, funny bar, you know, and they'll serve like not alcohol, but they'll serve you a soda or something like that over there. But they always have two major events for this. The first one is a shotgun wedding, and the second is a hanging. They will actually take someone that is supposed to be like a old West outlaw criminal and
staged. I mean, it's not the lottery.
Go without saying, but yes, they always get someone who comes out and they have like a list of ridiculous crimes for them. Mm-hmm. Then they take them out to the hanging tree and, you know, they set them up on a harness and they hang them just like the old West 1800s type style of hanging.
Right. So this year when they did that, I didn't fully explore the idea of how maybe culturally insensitive that is. The Houston Chronicle ran it on the front page of the whole Metro edition and said that this is not the time to be staging hangings.
Well, I will say this as a former Houston Chronicle employee. I like that they're saying that this year, but they, on their website, I checked today, they still have my last two articles of the hanging, which means someone down there posted them and thought nothing of it. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know, okay, you have a problem with it now. Why didn't you have a problem with it 2 years ago?
Right.
Now, the first response I thought would be, well, the person who wrote it, I forget her first name, her last name is Fox something. I think it's Fox Hall. I think it's what it was. she's been there from, I read on her profile, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's been there since the last two that got posted on there. So why is this a problem now?
Has she been stewing since your story last year and wanted to jump in?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever met her, because I've rarely ever had to go down to the Chronicle building.
Yeah. When I worked for them, I think I went to the headquarters once the whole time I worked for them.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm definitely more than once. I could probably go to two hands to count it, how many times I've had to go down there and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, all of a sudden now it's a problem when it wasn't a problem 2 years ago. And the thing is, for those of you who don't know, I worked with the Cleveland Advocate and we got bought out by them. For those 2 years I covered it, no one ever said anything about it. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it's a problem.
Yeah. And typically it is a little problematic to do any kind of reenactment of periods in history. When you go back to a time where women and non-white people were treated badly or unequally at best, it is troublesome. So I was talking with the Shepherd mayor, Earl Brown, about what can we do to open that up and create a learning experience that still recalls history. And it's kind of like you can, we did this in Gonzales. You can say, hey, you know, here in our county, we have a big Czech community, or I mean, Jason's familiar with that, but kind of take each subset of your community and talk about how far they've come and how did they get here. Right. And a lot of our friends and neighbors did not come here by choice.
I think I will say this, you know, I definitely understand that. And I understand where Earl's coming from, and I respect his opinion. And you had that conversation with Earl, so I mean, you know what all he said on it. We talked to him in part because Earl is black.
Yes.
And we want to get his opinion because, yes, this is a sensitive thing for black individuals.
Well, when it's kind of like, yes. And because most of our black families can have in recent memory a time where a friend or a family member might have been lynched.
Right.
So if you are doing a public hanging, it's going to trigger those memories.
Correct. Now, the other thing is, on the flip side of that, Foxhall's same article actually gets a quote from Dorothy Donahoe, who is a local member of the community. I usually see her a lot with the American Legion. I think she's also part of the Historical Commission. Mm-hmm. But Dorothy is also black. And Dorothy, the way she described it was a hoot. She has no problems with it.
And I think, how else do you drive home that lesson that this was a horrifying experience to witness, whether it was a legal execution, lethal injection? I've met a couple of times the guy for AP, he just recently retired, Mike Graycheck, who has covered most of the executions in Texas since we restarted. It's a hard thing to watch, even though we do it as painlessly as possible. I mean, some things go wrong just because a human body is not a precise machine.
Exactly.
It's horrifying. And I think if you'd go with a firing squad or executions, that's going to be a horrifying thing to witness. And part of me kind of wonders, do we need to demonstrate, vividly demonstrate, how bad things used to be to drive that point home? Because I know if you say anything that is culturally sensitive or calling for equality, whether it's gender, religion, or race, people call you a snowflake and things like that. Do we need to do more of that and talk about how frightening it is to be part of a community where people are strung up by the side of the road?
And I can understand that. But I mean, at the same time, there is a reverse side to that. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring it up like this, you know, how far do you go with it? You know, one thing we talk about, for instance, is in Hollywood is the concept of whitewashing. Mm-hmm. And I'll put it this way. Last year, my family and I, sans my mother, because she felt like it was going to be too sad for her to watch it. But we went and saw Dunkirk. Now, I don't know if you've seen Dunkirk, but it does deal with British forces that are surviving or trying to escape from the Germans and whatnot. And the film got attacked by the movement, of course, the social justice warriors, because virtually everyone in there is white. In fact, I don't think there's a single non-white person in that film. Hmm. But here's the thing. Now, this is, in the 1940s or 1939. I forget exactly when the events take place, but World War II, of course. Here's the thing. One of my friends, you know, is a modern day resident of England. And he said, yeah, well, I mean, good luck finding someone that's not white over here.
Right. the English army, I think the British army at that time was very monocultural.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, this is kind of how it is. I mean, it's not like it's planned that way. I mean, you know, you go to, if you were to do a movie in you know, that's set around China and Chinese events, you're going to find a lot of Chinese. You're right. Going to find a lot of Asians. Right. But you're not going to, you know, would you call that, you know, Asian washing? We don't call it that.
Right.
You know,
and I, one of my favorite teachers in fourth grade, our social studies teacher, was Horace Ray Jackson, and he was a Black World War II veteran. And I, you know, I will always remember some of the things he taught. And it was a great, in Houston, it was a great view into somebody who lived a totally different life than you did. And he talked about going to Germany. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the German citizens that he encountered, they had the, you talk about myth busting, mm-hmm. they believed they were special soldiers that were created to fight at night. Or at least that's the soldier. That's the story wow. he told us, that they were, they frequently called them night fighters, or the German translation of that. And it is, you know, he was a great man. He passed away shortly after my class moved into junior high, but, it was a, crazy time. But it was just that, you know, in Germany, they did not have people of color. You know, and they were, you know, you were free in Jews, and they were grateful, but it was very, there wasn't a lot of diversity in World War II, I guess, right. The no. long way around.
Well, I mean, most of your European nations are all predominantly white.
Yes.
You know, and that's just how Europe has always been, you know, and until more recent years, but even then, it's still going to be predominantly white.
Although I do kind of wonder about, you know, all of the millions of World War II movies out there where they're talking about Rommel and we're driving tanks around in Africa. Where are the native African people? You never see them. I mean,
exactly.
Well, I mean, that's funny too, because it's like when I was in high school, I pointed out to my government teacher when we were doing UIL on mm-hmm. history mm-hmm. and. The thing is, anytime World War II is brought up, there you hear the Germans and you hear of the Japanese, mm-hmm. but I realized nobody ever talked about the Italians. And I said, "Is there any reason why nobody talks about the Italians?" And he said, "Because they were constantly goofing off goofing up under Benito Mussolini," mm-hmm. and the way he put it was that Hitler had to keep bailing them out. And so I was like, oh, okay. So basically they just were, you know, that's why nobody talks about them, because they were embarrassing. Okay. So
I do course. Not know. I know my grandfather went to Africa, and it was supposed to go to Italy. But by the time they finished up, his unit finished up in Africa, his malaria was so severe, he wound up on a hospital ship headed for home. But so it's I don't have a chance to ask him we're aware of civilian casualties and things like that now. I mean, what about those people? Is it
right? I will also point out back on the
it's an untold story, but
yeah, I would also point out on the hanging that there is one actual crucial difference this year as opposed to the previous years, mm-hmm. which is that the victim in question is a woman.
Yes, she was hung for dressing like a man. And not speaking out on her opinions of the Bible.
Yes.
And among other charges.
Correct. Now, here's the thing. Just so we have some context here, and you know, everyone kind of understands the situation. All the past hanging victims have been white men. And as far as this is concerned, the thing is the current one, which I know her last name is Elledge. I forget what her first name is off the top of my head. But what they all have in common is that some of their crimes are actual crimes, but a lot of them are also nonsensical crimes. They're obviously meant to be humorous.
Yes.
And like you're meant to kind of laugh at the ridiculousness of the crime. And the funny thing is, there is true context to that. There are actual crimes that are still even existence today in the United States that are ridiculous.
There was like 200 women hung when the door slammed, courtesy of the circulation department.
Yes.
It's worth getting the Thursday paper out on the streets. But yeah, they, it was, you know, they hung women. The innkeeper who was found guilty for aiding and abetting John Wilkes Booth. What was her name?
That was Mary Surratt. She had a boarding house. And the thing is, Mary Surratt is controversial because there was a lot of talk as to whether or not if she was actually guilty of anything. Now, there's evidence that suggests that she is, but there's apparently evidence that suggests that she isn't.
Right.
And from what I remember, one of the other criminals that they were hanging for it, even had yelled out when they were getting ready to hang him, had said, no, leave Mary out of this. She mm-hmm. had nothing to do with it. Now, I can't speak for, you know, who investigated that. I can't speak for what you know, prompted them to decide to go ahead and hang her. But, you know, the point is, I mean, Mary, there was some evidence that indicated that she was involved in some extent or another. And
there's some doubt that she would have had any ability to stop him.
Correct. You know, and it's.
And Deborah Elledge was the victim in Cold Spring.
Yes, Deborah. That's right, Deborah.
She portrayed the victim.
I knew
and she is in her day job is being a pastor. So.
Yes, that's another thing, too. I mean, that was kind of the irony is that she actually does have that in common with the character she was portraying, and she was perfectly fine with it. I think she even, from what I remember, from what I was reading of the Houston Chronicle article, she was more than willing to go ahead and mm-hmm. and do this, you know. And again, it ties back to the fact that Dale. I mean, here's the thing: Dale portrays a character who's a reverend named Be More Pious. You know, obviously, there's meant to be some humorous context here,
right? Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not
and
like
his mini me. He has another yes. another man that was his sidekick that
exactly. I mean, the whole thing is meant to be funny, you know, yes. to an extent. And here's the thing, too. Dale balances humor and seriousness, because whenever I don't know what he because you I know you covered that event this year, and I don't know
I what attempted he said. To
okay well, attempted to
because the weather okay, I wound I up you. Sliding off the side of the highway
I got but, oh, right I remember you telling me that
but I did my trip my own personal mud festival.
I don't know what all he's done about it this year, but in the years I've covered it, he has always discussed the history of hanging. So I mean, it's
before,
not yeah
before he and we'll post all of that. He phoned he the announcer makes an announcement about don't, you know, that he's kind of trying to call attention. I believe his intent is to call attention to what a social tragedy this is, that right. it was that we ever did this, because he talks about how many people have been hung, and a lot of them were women. Mm-hmm. And nowadays that, you know, we see people who are intending to send a hateful message. You know, displaying a noose or something like that. And he made his remarks talked about that is not something to joke about. It is not something to, if you're playing cowboys and Indians, do not, kids, make a noose and, decide you're going to hang your friend for stealing your stick horse.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's very dangerous. And the thing is, too, they have a harness when they do that in order to keep that person from.
Right.
Strangling to death. So, I mean,
you know, and he talks about where you can go if you want to be a stuntman, how you can get trained for that.
Yes. But, and that's the thing. It's something that does require training. You don't want to just, I mean, we live in a day and age where people do stupid things, but
yeah, that was on the Today Show. That was on the Today Show this morning, which probably will be 2 days ago by the time y'all are listening to this. But, yeah, people are really going after, that experience that gives them an awesome Instagram photo. And, we're going to, I think several, first responders and search and rescue folks are saying they're going to implement an idiot tax if they have to come get you.
It's funny because there was a guy recently in the news had taken a selfie where like he had the river behind him and there were bears mm-hmm. feeding whatever. And apparently he's okay. The bears didn't do anything to him and he got out of there. But the, I guess it was like the local park rangers or someone got a hold of him, and basically, he was charged with crimes because in their mindset, it's, you know, you basically put yourself in danger. And,
right.
you know, would have basically had us come out there to fix your stupid mistake.
Right.
And there's a lot of truth to that. For crying out loud, you might as well just throw yourself into a lion's den.
Yeah. Well, and there's base jumping. I mean, mm-hmm. in Central Texas, the Austin area, they have one, you know, high level rescue or right. several every year. You know, people are the big one getting drunk up on top of Mount Bonnell. And going down the riverside of the hill, which is no bueno.
Well, like, as far as base jumping is concerned, though, the difference between that and taking a selfie with a highly carnivorous and very powerful animal behind you is the fact that base jumping, you have safety measures mm-hmm. that you can take. And, you know, it's not, you know, and, I mean, if you mess that up, I would like to know how you rescue someone from messing that up. But it's like yeah, bungee jumping. If the cable snaps, you're dead.
The bear did not sign any kind of contract exactly. to not eat you. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, so very busy weekend last weekend in St. Jacinto County.
Exactly.
Very busy weekend coming up next weekend.
Oh, yes.
What about Trinity County? What's held tap for the weekend on your side of the lake?
Well, on my side of the lake, we've got Trinity football in action. They're playing our San Jack brethren from Cold Spring.
Okay.
Apple Springs is taking their first road trip to Orange for a six-man contest. And Groveton has the week off.
All right. Lots of folks have a bye week. Livingston has a bye week. Megan, what's coming up in Crockett this weekend?
Well, not this weekend, but the next is the big Peanut Festival. It starts on Thursday, October 11th and goes through that Saturday.
So you're going to have all kinds of great peanut photos.
Yes. Peanuts. And pageants.
The pictures. Peanut Queen?
Yep.
Peanut butter?
Oh, I love peanut butter. Favorite food.
Are they going to have peanut butter and jelly time?
I will.
They should. Well, here in Livingston this week, one of our top stories, which you can read all about in the Thursday edition of the Enterprise, the manager of a gym, one of the members came in for a workout and noticed that the franchise owner was watching porn. And
ooh.
Yeah, so the gym member did report it to the police. The guy's charged with a Class C misdemeanor. The franchise owner, which I don't want to name any names, but it's kind of like we only have one franchised gym in town, but they are taking action and there will be a new gym owner. So, they were in the process of getting a manager in place and, that place is going to be sold and have a new owner because they said they don't tolerate, sexual harassment in any kind, whether it's from one member to another or involving employees or in this case, even the owner. So the guy's looking at a hefty ticket and a new career.
Are the initials of this franchise gym AF?
They are. But I have to say, I am very encouraged with the corporate executives there. They did, as soon as they heard about it a property owner in that area was concerned that maybe it wasn't true, but the man shared the video. I watched a few seconds of the video. It's kind of unmistakable what's going on. You don't mistake it for flying a kite.
No.
it was what was happening and that they are not going to tolerate that behavior. So that's encouraging because there are, you know, high school students that use the gym.
Yes.
Silver Sneakers members use the gym. So they want to keep it a healthy, positive environment for everybody. And that's great.
And I happen to be a member of that gym. Once you're a member of that gym for 30 days, it's nationwide membership afterward. I've worked out of that facility a few times and hopefully they will keep that open and just have a new manager.
Yes, they are bringing in new personnel and they're keeping the facility open.
Hooray!
So, I mean, like any other big purchase, it takes a while to bring it all about, but they don't want him on the property. And they are by the time you're listening to this, they should have a different manager.
Good.
But if, you know, like that with anything that you, if when you have a provable issue, you know, definitely bring it to us and we'll track it down and try to get it resolved because, you know, just like you don't want your muffler man flashing you.
No.
We want it to be a positive environment for everybody that's doing business. I also had a weird email. Someone sent an email to Greg Peek, our editor, saying that Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie was moving to Livingston. And we thought, well, that would be kind of different. You know, maybe she does want to escape the Hollywood environment and come stay in Texas. So whoever wrote this email listed a street address and listed a phone number where we could reach them, that she was going to be available for charity events. And we thought, I get hit up with somebody to come MC or something, a charity event about once a week. So this might become in handy. So I'm looking around and pull up on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, and see that the actress who played Nellie Olson, the mean little girl, was not the name of the person that was on the email because this email said that they were Nellie something else. And I thought, and I do some more Googling and see all about the actress and what she's doing now. Again, it's not matching the phone number. It was a Colorado phone number and the actress lives out from West Hollywood. And, so I snapped a picture of the printed email message and sent it to her Facebook publicity page. And a few days rock along, and then next thing I know, I'm getting Facebook messages. What was this? And it's, you know, I've really expected from musicians and people like that, I know they have a lot of help with those social media channels. And so I answered them and told them that we just wanted to call it to our attention in case it was one symptom of a larger problem going on, somebody trying to, you know, portray her or, you know, try to take acting jobs, you know, the sky's the limit for how big that deception could be. And so we went back and forth, and she said, I don't even know if this is a real newspaper. And I assured her that we were a real newspaper, but she wound up calling, and that was awesome. Molly had a great visit with Nellie, and she still sounds the same, but she is a super cool lady, and she may come to Houston to do Comic-Con in May.
Wow.
Very nice.
So we may really get Nellie Olson out of it after all.
Hopefully I will actually be able to go this time, because last time I took the day off and then I got sick.
I wanted to do Comic-Con in Dallas because Carrie Fisher was coming, and that I think that was nearly one of the last Comic-Cons Carrie got to do. But anyway, Allison, the actress, really does a lot of that, you know, sometimes as Nellie and lots of times not, but that, and she does the haunted ghost tours in a couple of towns in California. So we're going to try to get her in the area and help draft her to do some projects with us.
So who sent you this email?
We don't know.
Did y'all try to email him back or call him?
Maybe. I'm going to find one of my little friends that wears a badge, and we're going to go look at the residence. And
yes.
Because I'm going to take a picture for Allison. Uh-huh. But, we may or may not be making a surprise visit and see who's there and call on the number. And I'm not done yet.
You need to do a follow-up?
I will keep all y'all posted. But we're still working on Crimes Behind the Pine Curtain. So if you had a favorite murder or something that you want us to look into and see what happened, definitely drop me an email. You can find all that on our Facebook page.
And my podcast is officially named Southern Twang Podcast, and it will be launching at the 1st of November. I'm going to be working on doing interviews over the next couple of weeks.
Well, great. So what kind of people are you looking for to spotlight?
Just people who are making a difference. Lifestyle. It's more human. Oh, I can't think of the word.
Human interest.
Yes. Thank you. Just people who are making a wave in East Texas. One of the first interviews I'll be doing is, forgot her name, but she is behind the Instagram handle Among the Pines. She's a local photographer, and she travels across like East Texas, going to different businesses and just like the mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be launching a book all about East Texas called Among the Pines, Volume mm-hmm. 1. Like a,
cool.
Yeah. So that will be interviewing her next week. And then we're hopefully getting, there's a local author in Crockett, Scott, his name's Scott, who is publishing his first book, and it'll become out at the end of October. And we're doing a big scavenger hunt in Crockett for that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
All right. So send us your favorite crime. Send us the name of that person that you know has a huge story to tell that we need to capture forever and ever. And the two J's are going to come up with something here shortly. We're going to keep expanding this.
J and J.
Mm-hmm. They're going to talk about guy stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. Y'all might be talking about home decorating. I don't want to limit you.
Probably more like Comic-Con stuff. I have a 4-year-old who's obsessed with Spider-Man.
Yeah, so it's going to be superhero intensive.
And some sports twinkled in.
Batman versus Superman.
Maybe Spider-Man versus Superman. I don't know.
Well, Spider-Man would lose that one easily.
I don't think so. He would blind.
Okay, let me show you exactly how far I can argue that. Spider-Man can lift 10 tons. Superman can lift 5.9 sextillion tons. Who do you think is going to punch harder?
How many zeros is in sextillion?
I'll put you this way: trillion, quadrillion, quintillion. Sextillion.
So less than a Google.
That's the weight of the Earth, just so you know, 5.9 sextillion.
Wow.
Oh,
He bench pressed that weight 5 days straight without a break.
Nice.
All right. Well, folks, the election is right around the corner. Early voting is starting at October the 22nd.
Vote for Spider-Man or Superman.
Yeah. Or whoever you think is the the human that is behind those guys. October the 9th is the deadline. If you need to change your address or you need to update it or you got married or you got divorced and went and took your maiden name back, all that stuff, you need it updated. You can do that at the tax office. If you need any help, if you feel like you're hitting a roadblock, call the newspaper in your community and we will help you. Just talk to the, ask for the editor and we'll walk you through the steps. On election day, when you go vote, it's always best to have a photo ID. If you don't have a photo ID because you just came out of the coma or whatever the reason is, you need a utility bill with your name and your address on it. They will ask you to sign an affidavit swearing you are who you say you are. We're already seeing some fake ballots come in through the mail here in Polk County. So probably not the best idea to vote your grandmother 3 or 4 times.
Darn.
I know. My grandmother's going to vote this time, but she has her own definite opinions. She watches the news every night. She's wondering when I'm going to be on there. Tell her it's always a good thing when I'm not. But she knows who she's voting for, by golly. So when you see that vote, the ballot come in from a 95-year-old, it's very little assistance provided. What else, anybody?
This weekend, we have the zombie walk going on in Sanderson County.
That's so fun.
So you will see people dressed like zombies.
I walk like a zombie all the time.
Well, I do every morning, pretty much. But yeah, they're going to be dressed like zombies, and they're going to be lumbering through Cold Spring down towards the old jail museum.
Okay.
So we got that going on. The Cold Spring Library also has its garage sale that starts starts on the 4th, and it will end Saturday. And then, of course, there's the I told you that Browder's Marine is hosting a fundraiser for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Right. So go see John Few. Give some money to St. Jude's. Here in Livingston, we're going to be Thursday evening, we're going to dedicate the new soccer and track complex for Corky Cochran, my favorite fire chief in the whole wide world. There's many close seconds, but Corky is my favorite. So come out and see that. Next week on October the 11th, Thursday night, we're going to have a candidate forum for all the candidates who are running for Livingston ISD trustee. There are 9 candidates for, I believe, 2 positions. So vote early and often. Come out and see if your favorite candidate supports the arts or what their feelings are on college or career readiness. We're going to do that at the Florence Crosby Auditorium, which is at the Livingston Intermediate School out on 190 East, directly across from Chico. So that's, in a nutshell, the whole East Texas News Roundup. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.